I'd like to read one of the Psalms, Psalm 119. Not the whole Psalm. Psalm 119, just the first three verses. Psalm 119, the first three verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. I think it's a wonderful thing for all the God's children to come together and be blessed. Blessed by having the relationship with one another, blessed by being able to sing the songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to our Lord, and blessed in many, many ways because we've all decided to follow Jesus. And I think that's very important for us to understand. The lesson title tonight is simply, Blessed Are You. And when you look at the screen behind me, you see the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And here, the Apostle Paul writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are a blessed people. And we have blessings that the rest of the world could never comprehend. They'll never understand what it means to be in Christ, where all the spiritual blessings are, and the benefits that we have from those spiritual blessings. Let me get this back. All right. And so we want to be sure to understand what these will do for us. For example, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. That is a blessing just in itself. But we have a Savior who not only is a Savior, but he is God. And that Savior came down from heaven, became flesh, and he took on all the anxieties, all the troubles, all the trials, all the tribulations, so that he would have a great relationship with man that he created. And he could prove to man that we could trust him. And because of that, we are blessed that we have a friend in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11 and 28, remember, come unto me, all you that heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. What a blessing it is to know that the God of creation, the one who prepared before the foundation of the world, the kingdom that we can be part of. He said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. To be able to lay your burdens on the shoulders of a creator. And to be able to cast those cares on him. And the blessing is that because he's been here. He's endured that. He was tempted with all manner of sin, just like all of us. And yet he accomplished that without sin at all. And so when we cast our cares on him, when we lay our burdens upon his shoulders, we have a friend in Jesus who can bear up our burdens. Again, because he's God. And you think, you know, Isaiah chapter 53... And I want to make sure I have the right verse. Isaiah 53. And I believe verse 11 is what I want. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied, and his knowledge, my righteous servant, shall justify By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So let me read that. He, God, shall see the labor of his, Jesus, soul, and be satisfied. Satisfied because we're blessed to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has gone out into the world. Satisfied because Jesus existed upon the earth. He lived a life on the earth without sin. And then it says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We have a friend in Jesus, and we should rejoice in that. That is a blessing. Also, think of this. Blessed are they who do his commandments. We sing that song all the time. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter into the gates, into the city. And when we think of how blessed we are, we have this blessing because we do the commandments of God, and God gives us eternal life. To be able to partake of that tree, that wonderful tree that is in heaven, that tree of life. And if you put the numbers together, the tree of life, the implication is you're not going to cry anymore. You're not going to hurt anymore. You're not going to die anymore. You're not going to hunger and thirst anymore. And the part of that blessing, even though it's in the future, it's in the knowledge that that is ours for the taking. We can't earn it, but God gives it as a part of his grace through faith. And so blessed are they who do his commandments. John wrote, behold, a great multitude, a multitude that no one could number. And this is, by the way, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It's a multitude that nobody could number. Think of that. A number. All the nations, all the peoples, all the tribes of every tongue standing before the throne. And what are they seeing? The Lamb of God. They're seeing the Lamb of God. And before the Lamb of God, you know what they're seeing? They're seeing the people who are, the saints who are clothed with white robes. And they have palm branches in their hands, just like on that day in Jerusalem. And they're crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What a blessing. Rejoice in that. Be happy in that. Be glad. Blessed are those who do his commandments. What a benefit there is in doing the commandments of the Lord. It certainly is something to rejoice about in the flesh. As we do his commandments, we're taking step by step, day by day, reaching that higher plane, striving for the crown. And God has made it very clear that multitudes, beyond number, beyond counting, are going to be there on that day. And no matter who you are, no matter what language you speak, no matter what color your skin is, if you've been living a life doing his commandments, you're going to see that throne. And you're going to see God sitting on that throne in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It's something that we all long for and we all wait for. Blessed are they who do his commandments. What about this one? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Just the name of Jesus should bring joy to our hearts. Just at the name of Jesus, when we realize that one day every tongue, knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And since we've already done that, we know we're on the right side. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 113 at verse 2. Psalm 113 and at verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forevermore. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mark 11 and 9. That's the people that were gathered in Jerusalem as Jesus came in victorious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And, of course, it doesn't stop there. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I love that song. And I don't think I could ever hear it enough. Because it's teaching me something. It's teaching me I'm not alone. I'll never be alone. I have this blessed assurance that no matter where I go, no matter how hard life is, Jesus is always there. He's there to comfort me. He's there to take my troubles upon his shoulders. He's always, always, always going to be there. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That in my mind translates that I have this faith, this blessed assurance in a Savior, Jesus Christ, who will never leave me, never forsake me. And when I pray, he's there. When I'm with the assembly, he's here with us. Blessed assurance. Right? And something else, this earthly house that we have, we realize it's just temporary, and we're waiting for that day in which we will be raised up. This tent will be destroyed, and we will have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a blessing it is to know, assuredly, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. For you. And he's going to come back. We have assurance of that because we know that he was murdered, put on a cross, murdered, died, buried 3 days. He came up from that grave. And not at my say-so, but at the witness of so thousands who saw him alive. There is no question. We know that Abraham Lincoln died from a gunshot wound. We know that because we read about it, because there were witnesses who wrote about it. Not as many as who saw a resurrected Savior. We know that George Washington, I guess we know that he had long white hair. I saw the picture. But those drawings, those pictures were done by men who saw him face to face. These witnesses saw Jesus face to face. Mary, Martha, Peter, James, John, the two disciples on the road, they saw him. And we are blessed because our faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's Jesus. That's that time that we will be in heaven. When we will have this tent removed and will be given a new body. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So blessed are you, all of us. Think of this. You're blessed because your deeds follow you. And you think about that. We live in a world that is ungodly, unrighteous, unholy. You could go down the list of all the sins that are common in the world. But truly, you're blessed. Number one, because you're not part of that. You're blessed because of the way you live. As a Christian, no question of it. John wrote in Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 through 13, and John says, here is a patience of the saints. That patience of the saints. Here are those who kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, and their works follow them. Your works will follow you. Whether good or bad, your works are going to follow you. And, you know, we think about, these are the ones that John wrote about. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 or 14. And as you look at this, think about that little A up there where it talks about patience of the saints. Those are the blessed are the ones who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That's better translated here by the Christian Standard Bible. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Most of the modern translations say that. Blessed are they who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the city by the gates. Blessed are we because of that our deeds follow us. Because we're washing our robes spiritually day by day, being renewed in our minds day by day. Washing robes is another way of saying living righteously. Day by day. Making the right choices. Looking to God for the right answers and not to man, not to the world, even not to ourselves. Finding out what is right in the sight of God. What is God's will in this matter? And when we live a life like that and we treat people with the love and the grace and the mercy that God has treated us with, your deeds follow you. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 13. Solomon, that wise man, he said, do righteousness and justice. It's more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God doesn't want us to look back at the old times, the old ways. But he wants us to do righteousness, live according to his will and his way. And he says, live by justice. That's more acceptable to God. Being washed thoroughly, the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul teaches us that the grace of God, which is God's giving us something we don't deserve, is essential for salvation. Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace, you are saved through faith, not of works. See, it's conditional. We're saved by grace through faith. It's conditional. How we live our lives, whether or not we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, we labor day by day as Christians, making all our decisions based upon the Word of God. Should I drink alcohol? Well, of course not. Why not? Because this body has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ's blood. It's not mine anymore. It's also the temple. And if I defile the temple, then I'm defiling my faith and my love and my living and my deeds. Should I smoke cigarettes? Of course not, for the same reason. Should I gamble? Why would I do that? God has blessed us with so many material things. You know, our cars, our houses, our bank accounts. And why would I buy lottery tickets? Literally throwing away the things that God has blessed me with. Why would you do? Why would I go to the gambling house up the road here and play those slot machines and cards and so on and bet money that God has blessed me with when that money could be used for other things? And so we turn to God and say, is this right? Is that right? Is that right? And God's grace teaches us the essentials for salvation, the answers to the question, whether or not we obey the gospel makes all the difference in the world on the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. It's going to happen. But blessed are you because your deeds follow you. Obviously, we're talking about good deeds. We're talking about things that we do. Love, grace, mercy, loving our neighbor as ourself, extending a hand to help the needy, to be able to reach out to someone's soul and plant a seed that will cause them to learn about God, and maybe that seed will grow in their hearts so that when they do stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we won't be to blame for not helping. So our deeds, they follow us. Doing what God commands is a sure way to obtain favor in the eyes of God. Not listening to God, not being baptized, not being a faithful member of the body of Christ, just not doing that one thing dims that vision, separates us from God because we're still in our sins. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates in heaven. That wonderful, wonderful city. Oh, you're blessed because of your labors. Now listen to this. From life to death. That designates what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. We all have that measure of time. And some it's this long and some it's that long and some this long. It doesn't matter. As long as we're on the earth, we have the blessing of life. And there is a time in every Christian's life that from that moment that you're baptized, you come up out of that water a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And during that time, you're alive in Christ. And all the work that you do is accounted. Remember Abraham, we mentioned him in the morning lesson, right? Abraham was not justified by faith only. Abraham took his son Isaac and put him up on that mountain. Had every intention of obeying God's will. And he was stopped because of his faith. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Our labors follow us, and they make a difference. And during the time that we're that we must remain faithful on this earth, when we're between our baptism and the day in which we're taken, right? James said, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved or tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to give to those who love him." And so it's a blessing to just do the will of God step by step. You know, Jesus commanded that we all, a command that we've heard many, many times. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 28, 19 through 21. Go out into all the nations, making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says something else, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you till the end of the age. You know, Paul commanded the brethren in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. He says, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We labor on this earth. We share the gospel. We take lessons. We do Bible studies. We learn every day to grow in our faith. And that's not wasted. All that labor is done and is remembered by God. So we need that. We need that. And during this time, our physical time on the earth, that is our labor in the kingdom, is really what is most important. Listen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, labor of love. Right? When we live this life, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. During this time, it's all about remaining faithful until death. Revelation 2 and 10, remain faithful until death, you've received the crown of life. You think that through. James 1, 12, which we've already quoted. When we're approved, we remain faithful, we receive that crown of life that God has promised. And then, you know, during this time, you must abound in the work. During this time, you must obey and have that labor that is in the kingdom. Labor of love. A labor in the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. A labor in the word of God and in the doctrine of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. And then we can labor in our prayers. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. All these are valuable, valuable, valuable in the eyes of God. You know, it is possible that Christians can labor in vain. The Psalm 40 and verse 10, right? I have not hidden your righteousness, David says, with my heart. I have declared you and the fullness of you, your salvation. And he says, I have not concealed your loving kindness and your faith from the great assembly. That's how we need to be when we talk about our labors. You know, we think this because you'll all have rest from your labors. And that's the greatest blessing there is. God's children, after so long, will one day be at rest from their labors. We're going to be at rest. Luke chapter 16, 25 clearly shows that the people that are in Christ are going to have rest from their labors, and the people who are not in Christ are going to spend the time in torment. Paradise and torment. That's what Abraham said. And so people, we can have rest from our labors. You think of that song, and I love the song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, and We'll Be Gathered Home in the End." In other words, rest comes after the work. Right? Whatever you do, do it heartily. Paul said in the book of Colossians, as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Galatians not to grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. So we have to press on because the goal is before us. We need to be like Paul. Hold fast to the word of life that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, because at that time we're going to receive rest from our labors. And blessed are you who have died in the Lord. Ecclesiastes 4 and 2. You know, Solomon, let's read that together. Solomon made it very clear that in his time, he was more apt to think that it was better to be dead than alive. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and beginning at verse 2. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 2. He says, therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both, he is who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Think of those words and how powerful that is. Everything that we do on this earth, we're inundated with evil, wickedness all around. Solomon in his time didn't have Jesus. This was before Christ came that he said these words. But we who are called the household of God, we a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people, we have comfort from the Lord. We have comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, blessed are those who are looking forward to that time in which we cross out of this life into the life to come. We have a victory in Christ Jesus, and we know that. For many people, death has become a welcome thing. They're wanting to go home. They desire to go home. All who are not in Christ at their passing will go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. That's going to happen. We can't get around that. Only those who die in the Lord will be recipients of God's blessing. So how do we die in the Lord? It requires baptism and faithfulness. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says, as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. That's where the blood of Christ is contacted. That's where we rise up to walk in newness of life. And we have all these blessings and all these hopes. Galatians 3 and 27 tells us the same thing. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. We put on Christ, and we're part of his kingdom, that he's going to come and return up into heaven. And all we do is remain faithful until death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I hope you feel blessed tonight, and I hope all of these things have caused you to think if you are not one of the blessed, because certainly the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father wants you to be able to take part of his blessings. You know, we have a song of invitation tonight, song number 835, There's a Fountain Free. We talked about those who are blessed in the Lord, that one day we'll have access to the tree of life, and those gates of heaven will open up. And there's also a stream that runs down there. It's the water of life. It runs down between the tree of life on either side. And it's a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me, if you're in Christ. You have a need this night, please, if you want to be baptized or you want to confess sin, we're here to help. So please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Is a fountain free, 'tis for you.